This is Digital Story Podcast number 577, March 28th, 2017. Today's theme is, What Good is a System That Doesn't Work? I'm Derek Story. One of my favorite Jerry Seinfeld routines pokes fun at the system failure of car rental agencies. Anyone can take a reservation, he says. It's holding the reservation that's important. At work and at home, we are constantly creating routines and systems to manage our lives. But if put to the test, do they really work? We'll explore in more detail on today's show. There's this group of people that I was on tour with as a photographer a while back. And whenever someone was going to tell a story that had a sad ending or there was something disturbing in it, they had to let everyone else know that sad story warning. And the reason why we had this is because otherwise, you know, you're sitting around, you're sharing information, you're telling stories, and then someone just like drops this sad bomb on you, and it's going to be a real mood killer. So I'm going to do that here. This first story that I'm going to tell you today is a disturbing story. It bothers me, and it illustrates a point that I want to talk about, but the story itself is real. And of course, when it's real, that makes it even tougher, doesn't it? So this happened to my mom, and this just happened a couple days ago, as a matter of fact. And she's been through a lot lately, and she was shopping at the grocery store, and so she was pushing her cart, and she had some items in her cart, and she had her purse in that top basket area that most folks do when they're bringing something along, a purse or a backpack or something. And she was in the frozen food area. And while she was in the frozen food area, a gentleman came up to her, and he was nicely dressed and so forth. And he had a frozen item in his hand. It was like a dinner, something like that. And he was saying, do you know if these things have a lot of sodium in them? She's looked at him and said, well, I don't really know. I don't have my glasses on me. You'd have to read the label, but I'm sure there's someone here that can help you. Well, while that brief conversation was happening, while she was just turned around a little bit talking to this gentleman, his accomplice lifted her wallet out of her purse, and then the other guy was gone too. And just moments later, she noticed that her purse had been opened and that her wallet was missing, and she felt really terrible. She felt really terrible. And as situations like this happen, you know, a lot of times, the person that has been victimized feels like it's their fault. Of course, it wasn't her fault. I mean, she's in her 80s. Maybe she shouldn't have talked to him at all. It's not really her nature. You know, when I was talking to her on the phone afterwards, she said, people from where I grew up in my generation, we actually trust most people. And I mean, obviously, if I'm in a situation where it clearly is dangerous, I'm not going to be naive. But I mean, walking around in the store with a cart full of groceries and someone asks me a question, I'm not going to be naturally suspicious of him. And she goes, well, at least I wasn't. And probably now that's changed. That's really, really unfortunate. She reported it, and the police officer interviewed her, and he was terrific, I have to say, you know, based on her report. And the police officer was really helpful. He gave her advice. And he said, you know, we're going to see if we can find these guys. And he said, in fact, I know this store has a security camera system. And so we will check the security cameras to see if we can get an ID on these guys, not only to help you recover your wallet, but also, if they're going to hit you, they're probably going to hit someone else very soon. He did, in fact, follow up on that, and he checked with the store. And what the store told him was that their security system was down and that the cameras weren't working and that there was no tape or footage or images or anything else for them to look at in order to help solve this problem. When he told her that, when the police officer followed up with my mom and told her that, she said, well, you know, that just figures, doesn't it? And when she told me that, I said, that is inexcusable. That really annoyed me almost as much as the fact that these guys took advantage of my mom. And so the odds of them finding these guys and the odds of her getting a chance to ID them just went down dramatically because of this quote-unquote system failure at the grocery store. And this was not some little grocery store, you know, out in the country. This is a major chain in Southern California, very respected name, and their security system wasn't working. After I finished talking to my mom, I was thinking about this, and I was, you know, obviously I was thinking about her and everything that she's been through lately, and this just added another thing onto her already challenging life. But then I started also thinking about the failure of the security system at this commercial grocery store. And I was just thinking, really, what good is a system that doesn't work? I mean, really, why do you even have the facade of having something like this if it's not going to be maintained and if it's not going to be working all the time? A security system that only works some of the time isn't really a security system, is it? I don't think so. And then I started to will myself to be more philosophical because I was still annoyed with many aspects of this story. And I started thinking about, okay, what about my life? What about systems that I have in place that I haven't tested for a while? And, you know, the first thing that I think of is the system that we use to back up our images and to archive our work and to protect ourselves from losing valuable content. And it's theft of a different kind. It's theft, you know, of our own negligence, right? I started thinking about that, and then I asked a few people. In fact, I ask people this all the time. even when I'm at work, I was at the Cheese Festival. Those of you that follow me on social networking know that I had an assignment this weekend shooting the Artisan Cheese Festival in Petaluma, California. It's a great assignment. I love this assignment for all sorts of reasons. One of the reasons is I can actually talk about this assignment while I'm doing this. So many things I'm hired for as a photographer, I don't ever get to talk about. I can't talk about because I'm under some kind of NDA. You know, I'm not allowed to talk about it. Or the images aren't approved for public consumption or, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's really frustrating to take all these great shots and then never be able to share them other than with the client themselves, but they're paying me and it's that's the way that is. The Cheese Festival is not that way. I get to share images in real time. They love it when I share images and talk about it. So that's one of the reasons that this assignment that comes up once a year for me, I really dig it because I get to talk about it. So while I'm there, and I'm there for an entire day and then into the evening, because there's all these different events happening, and the evening event is a lot of fun because they have tastings and cheese, and they pair these together, and they do different things. Cheese doesn't just go with wine. Cheese is also paired with beer, and it's also paired with spirits. All of this stuff is going on in the world of cheese, which is, I have to tell you, there is so much more to cheese than I ever knew before I started doing this assignment. And so I happened to be covering the cheese and spirits pairing, which I just thought was wonderful because the primary spirit was whiskey. Yes, whiskey, yes. There were other spirits too. Rum, believe it or not. Even gin, which, not a big gin person, but dominating the scene was whiskey. So you can imagine how easy it was taking pictures at this event because everyone after about half an hour was feeling pretty good and they were actually coming up to me and saying, take my picture, right? So there was no having to be shy or work to get my shots. They just came to me. And then people would also come to me with like questions too. I can't tell you how many times people come up to me with their smartphone and saying, I'm trying to find this shot because this guy was here last year and I want to show him the shot and I can't find it. And they literally hand me their phone and ask for help. That happened a couple times the other night. And I always ask the question when people come up to me for help. I said, well, you know, what kind of backup system do you have? Are you using iCloud? Are you using Google Photos? Are things automatically being backed up to Flickr? I mean, do you have a Dropbox account? I mean, what is going on? You know, how are you protecting this stuff that's on this phone that you could set down on this table, walk away from, and never see again, right? Because you come back, it'd be gone. Refer to story number one for that. At any rate, so often, people don't really have a system. iPhone users, by default, have usually some iCloud activity going on, which is a good thing. But a lot of times they'll run out of storage or they won't re-up or whatever. Now, the only system that's really good is a system that backs up all of your photos and everything is protected. And if something happened to your device, then you could get another device, log into your account, and everything would show up again. For mobile devices in particular, cloud backup is the only way to go. You don't want to have some sort of system where you have to plug your mobile device into your computer because you're not going to do it. You never have to do it for anything else. Why would you do it for backup? No one likes doing backup. No one likes eating broccoli. It's that kind of thing. So it has to be something that is cloud-based and that happens automatically for you to have any protection at all. The next level is, of course, for those of us that are enthusiasts, freelancers, or professionals, is that we need to back up the stuff that we're taking with our cameras, our mirrorless and DSLR, and if you're lucky, medium format cameras too. And that system also has to be robust, and it has to be easy, and it has to be reliable. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Okay, so what if I took my laptop, dropped it in the bathtub, went and bought another laptop, could I get back all the pictures that were on it? Now, I'm not actually going to do that, unless it's time to upgrade to a new laptop, of course. But normally speaking, I would not do that. I would find a more innocent way to destroy my device, one that didn't leave the scent of me really wanting to upgrade. So at any rate, I was thinking about that, and even my system, which is very good, I've talked about it before. I have Drobos here at the studio, two of them. So I have physical redundancy times two. And remember, the Drobos have redundancy within themselves, right? They have multiple drives. I have the 5D and the 5DT. Each has five drive bays. And if one of those drives go down, then I'm still okay. I just have to put a new drive in. The Drobo will reconfigure itself. And I won't lose any of the content at all because of the robotic system where it's sharing space among the drives. But that only takes care of physical, right? So if a giant meteorite landed on my studio, then if I only had the Drobos, then I'm in trouble, right? Because the meteorite would crash through the roof and burn down everything, and I would lose the content that was on my Drobos. That's not likely. But what are the odds that my mom's going to get hit in a grocery store in the middle of the day and that security cameras are going to be off, right? So, you know, odds aren't really something that we play in this game. Because even if the odds are super slim, that still means that there's a chance it could happen. And my experience has been, if there's a chance something could happen, at some point it probably will. And if not to you, to someone that you know or care about. The fact is that the chance that something might happen to my physical drives here at the studio, the fact that that chance is slim means nothing to me. It means it could be tomorrow or it could be 5 years from now. So then there has to be the next level. And we know about the next level, right? Offsite. Now, the question is, when you get to offsite, is that offsite moving physical drives from one location to another? Copies, however you work it, or is this the point where you engage in cloud activity to help you? Because a server somewhere else, a server in Colorado, also counts as offsite. So, for example, I could have my Drobos backing everything up here, all my shoots, plenty of physical redundancy, and then have a system where at night, where I'm not at work, then that stuff is being uploaded to a server somewhere else. It doesn't make any difference if it goes really fast or not because, well, I need at least 7 hours sleep, which should be plenty of time to back up a day's worth of work, even to the cloud. And I think that system, in all honesty, is probably the better way to go. This day and age, we can get cloud storage fairly reasonable. It's fairly easy, and you can automate it. Now, the other system, the physical system, works pretty well also. The only problem with the physical system, which is taking a copy of a drive or the drive itself to another location on a semi-regular basis, is that whatever gap you have from the last time that you did it, that's your vulnerable gap, and are you willing to sacrifice that content that exists in that gap if something happens to the original location? Some people are, some people aren't. It's not a horrible way to go, because let's say that you have 40 years worth of pictures, 30 years, 20 years, 5 years worth of pictures, and the chance that you might lose 1 or 2 weeks out of that 5 years, that's not horrible. I mean, no one wants to lose just a little bit, but that's not horrible compared to losing everything. Losing everything is horrible. That's what we want to stay away from. So the physical backup system is not terrible either. I don't think it's quite as good if you have the bandwidth and the skill to do a cloud backup of, let's say, a Drobo drive or comparable system. Not quite as good, but still pretty good, and certainly better than not doing anything at all. So bringing this back full circle, and I'm just using backups as a system, but I think it's the most vulnerable system. But we have other systems too. And we have systems for, let's say, adding metadata to our images. We maybe have systems for keywording. Maybe we have systems for rating our shots so we can find the best ones. We have all sorts of systems. The point of this segment of this podcast is, doesn't make any difference what type of system that we're talking about. If it's a system that's important to you, and if it's a system that's designed for a real reason, then every now and then it would probably pay to test it, to make sure that it's working properly, to make sure that maybe you might have to do an upgrade here or there, or maybe that you might have to do an adjustment, so that when it comes down to crunch time, when you really need that system, it's there for you. Because if it isn't, you're just kidding yourself. And I don't want you to kid yourself. Your pictures are valuable to you. All of your other content's valuable to you. We know this. We care about this stuff. You know, we put a lot of work into the work that we do. And I want to make sure that not only you have it, but that your friends and family have it for years to come. Because my guess is the work that you're doing with your camera is important to a lot of people, not just to you. So the story about my mom probably isn't going to have a happy ending, other than maybe she'll help us in her own way fix a system that prevents an unhappy ending in our lives. And if something good can come out of it, that would just make me feel a little bit better. The Me Photo Road Trip Air on assignment. All right, this week's installment takes us back to the Artisan Cheese Festival. I talked about that in the last story. And I needed a tripod for this assignment. There are a number of things, including video, where a tripod is important to me. But I am on my feet all day. I'm going from place to place. So I took the Me Photo Air, the Road Trip Air. And this is really interesting. I was so happy with this. When I first told you about this tripod, I told you that it came in this really nice pouch that has one of the nicest drawstrings I've ever seen. I don't know why I'm so excited about this drawstring, but it is just this great woven cord. It's beautiful. And, you know, when I first saw it, I liked the pouch and everything, and I love the drawstring, as you know. But I was thinking, wow, my last Me Photo tripod, the one that I bought years ago, came in this really nice kind of semi-hard case. And I go, well, you know, is it just cost saving, this pouch, or is there something else going on? And I, you know, obviously I didn't think about it much more. I've got bigger things to think about. But I came back to that this week, because what I could do is I could put my Road Trip Air inside the pouch that it came with that doesn't hardly add any more space to the tripod itself. And then I was using a ThinkTank Retrospective 7 bag. I love that bag. Those of you that have that bag know what I mean. It's just a cool bag. It looks good while I'm on assignment. It's got kind of that, I don't know, that classic look. and that kind of coarse fabric and a little faded, you know, this is nice. It's nice. You look like a cool dude, right? So I had that bag, but the other thing I like about it is it's not too big, because I was working all with Micro Four Thirds on this assignment. So I had the, you know, EM5 Mark II. I was using the 75 F1.8 a whole lot. I love that for when I have to shoot indoors during workshops and seminars and stuff, which I had a lot of those on this assignment. It's just, you know, it gives me a 150 F1.8. Oh my gosh. There was a time in my life that I would have given up a car to have, you know, that kind of performance. And it's as sharp as the day is long, I tell you. So I was using that lens. I was using my Panasonic 12-35 f2.8, another lens that I just depend on all the time for my professional work. And then I had the 20mm f1.7 with me. As you know, I always have that lens with me. But I didn't have to use it. I had enough light where I could use the f2.8 zoom, and then, of course, the 75mm f1.8 for the longer stuff. So I had that. I had to have a flash, right, because it's an assignment. You know, extra batteries, my iPad mini. And you guys might have seen the shot where at lunchtime I was using the Wi-Fi from the camera to the iPad mini, sorting through shots, and then uploaded a bunch to the PR firm so they would have shots right away for their social media. So I was doing that during lunch. I had the iPad mini with me. And of course, you know, a few power bars and, you know, all the other goodies that I carry. So all that fits really nicely in the Retrospective 7, the ThinkTank Retrospective 7. Very comfortable with that wide strap fitting on my shoulder. Well, the Mi Photo fits right in the top of that. And because it has a pouch and not that hard case, it actually set right in there. I took a picture of it. I probably won't run it on the show notes. Maybe I'll run it on social. But I was so impressed with just how it fit in the top there. And I could even take, like, you know, the Retrospective has these little corner flaps on the inside that, you know, kind of keep your gear from accidentally bouncing out. They would fit over the tripod. The tripod fit in there perfectly. On top of my gear, I would have the camera in my hand, and then I could just put the flap down and walk around, and that's all I had to carry. Just that one bag, that one really nice messenger bag that's super comfortable, and I had a camera. Oh, I had a backup camera, too. I had an EM10 Mark II. My backup camera, my camera, my extra lenses, all the stuff I needed, iPad, and a tripod all fit in that bag. And then when I went to use the tripod, as I've talked about before, the legs extend so quickly that I can set the thing up really in less than a minute. And I'm not exaggerating. Have that thing set up, do the work that I need to do, fold it back up, put it back in the pouch and back on the top of the bag, and off I go. And because it has a pouch, I didn't have to worry about it clanking against anything in the bag. Everything had a layer of protection between them. As you can tell, I'm having a lot of fun with it. It's just a blast. If you want to learn more about this line of tripods, all you have to do is click on the tile that's on any of the pages of the digital store. You see it right there. It's a colorful Mi Photo tile. And if you decide you want one, then you can save 10% and get free shipping by using coupon code THEDIGITALSTORY. So a big thanks to the folks at Mi Photo for sponsoring this show and making such a cool tripod that I can use just about anywhere. Speaking of gear, I wanna talk about a bag. I haven't talked about a new bag in a while. So I've been testing the ThinkTank Signature 13 shoulder bag. This is a luxury bag. They just came out with it. I've had one. I have the 13. I have the Signature 13. And the reason why, it's actually the bigger of the two bags. Now, how often do I get the bigger of the two bags? Not very often. But the reason why I went with the 13 was because my 13-inch MacBook Pro will fit inside of it. This bag I'm using now for my everyday bag, going back and forth to work, going to business meetings, going to client meetings, you know, all that kind of stuff. And in part because it looks so good. The fabric feels like a fine wool suit. You know, like a really nice wool suit where The fabric is very soft, but you can tell it's really durable too. It feels like that, very soft to the touch. It's some kind of advanced blend that they've come up with, but the feel of it is really luxurious. But it's also durable and very weather resistant too. They've complemented this fabric with leather accents, including a full leather bottom, so you can set the bag down on a damp surface and you don't have to worry about it at all. And then leather accents everywhere, leather poles on the zippers, all that kind of stuff. And then antique finished metal hardware. And the metal hardware really complements the bag. So I have the charcoal bag with brown leather accents, and then it looks like brushed nickel metal hardware. And it is super handsome. it really looks nice. And, you know, sometimes when I have it sitting across from me when I'm working at the studio, you know, after I've unloaded and I'm working on stuff, I'll just look at it and go, boy, that's a good-looking bag. Anyway, a couple other features that it has, a zippered flap on top, so that provides a full closure and security to the main compartment. So my cameras are inside. Inside of it, I have the Pentax KP DSLR with the 20-40 lens, and I have two prime lenses also for that camera. And then I have the OMD EM5 Mark II with two lenses. And then I'm carrying a Pentax ZX5N right now with one prime lens. All that fits in there, plus my 13-inch, plus the iPad mini, plus, you know, all the normal wires and accessories and things that you have to have. So, but it doesn't look too big at all. And it's amazing how much you can get in there, but yet how portable and svelte the bag looks. Also, it has a dedicated phone pocket, which I think is really slick on the inside. It'll hold up to a 6S or an S7 Edge. And then the dividers are unlike any that I've seen before in that they have just this really, it's hard to describe how nice the fabric feels, but they're rigid and then they're lined with this fabric that's really nice. But the thing about them is that you can pull out the divider and foam system and the bag will collapse completely. So if you wanted to travel with this bag in your suitcase, you could do that. You would just pull out the guts, fold everything flat, and then put it in your suitcase, and you could take it with you. Then when you reached your destination, just put it back together, put your gear in, and off you go. So I think it's pretty slick. I'm really liking it. I like it in particular for client meetings and things. When I walk into the room and I'm wearing my dress jeans and my button-down shirt and everything, blazer, this bag complements that perfectly. It makes a really nice statement and makes you look like you know what you're doing, which is very important when you're meeting with a potential client trying to talk them into hiring you. So anyway, I have a link to that bag in the show notes. It's the Think Tank Signature 13. You can get it on the site. Go through my link. You'll get some goodies and you'll get free shipping and all that stuff too. They have it listed for $279. It's a premium bag at the top of the line. Very high quality, and I'm enjoying using it. And I thought you might want to hear about it. All right, I have a couple updates and goodies. You know, one is, I want to lead off with this. I had a new Patreon member sign up this week, and when she signed up, she also left a really nice note for me on the site. And one of the things that she said in the note was that, you know, she's been enjoying the podcast for a long time, and that she really appreciated having a way to show her support and, you know, how much that the show and the things that I post on social and on the digital story really help keep her energized and keep the creative juices flowing. And I thought that was really nice. Not only that she became a member of our inner circle and a Patreon supporter, but also that she wrote a note. And I tell you, I tell people this all the time. I brag about you guys all the time. I swear I do, at least once a week, if not more. I tell people that the thing about this virtual camera club is that there's a quality level with this community that I just don't see a lot of other places. in terms of your comments on social and on the Nimble Photographer blog and all that sort of stuff, the way that you support our sponsors, the way that you turn out for the workshops, you have a great time, you enjoy yourselves, you immerse, but you know how to be a photographer. You know how to be someone who is an artist. And there's no stereotype for that. There's no definition. You just know it when you see it. And, you know, it can manifest in all sorts of different ways. But the quality of our community with these interactions that I have in all these different spots continues to impress me. It really does. It really does. And I just want you guys to know, I brag about all of you all the time. Because I just feel like I'm so lucky to have, you know, this type of community with us. So anyway, that note really touched me, and it was just another example of how you guys are like all in on this and how much I truly appreciate that. And finally, speaking of class, we need to talk about Red River Paper. I just heard from them actually today. I got a note, and they were saying, we want to talk about out of Chicago. We want to make sure that, you know, everything is in order and that you're feeling good about it. And, you know, we're working to get some samples out there and we're doing all this. Is there anything that we can do to help you? They wrote me about this. Is there anything that we can do to help you? This is Red River Paper. This is how they operate. They really stand behind their community and their customers. And I'm going to write them back later on today after I get this podcast wrapped up. And say, yeah, there's a couple things that I want to touch base with you about. I'm really excited about speaking about printing at the conference. And I'm really looking forward to letting more folks know about Red River Paper. So again, this is just another one of those things that you just know quality when you run into it. You know professional when you see it. And these folks embody that. And they make great printing paper. We have a new special, by the way, on the landing page. The old one wore off, and we have a new special there. So you can just click on the tile on any of the pages of the digital story. Go check it out. Go see what they're up to. Get some paper. Make some prints. Create something beautiful. Create something beautiful. Big thanks to Red River Paper, the longest-running sponsor of our podcast. And they also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. That's going to do it for me this week. More adventures next week. Hopefully no sad stories next week. But you know, life is a mix of everything, isn't it? And the good and the bad. We will cover it all right here, at least as it relates to art and photography. See you next week. Thanks for joining me. Until then, bye-bye now.